W 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Evacuations are underway in Cleves, Ohio, not far from Cincinnati, where a damaged rail car is leaking styrene. That's a flammable liquid used to make plastics and rubber.
There is concerns that with the heat up of the material in the car, that there is a potential for an explosion. At this point, I don't have any other detailed information.
And Chief Mike Sefke of the Little Miami Joint Fire and Rescue District. President Biden gave his farewell address to the United Nations General Assembly. Federal prosecutors have officially charged Ryan Ruth with attempting to assassinate former President Trump. Missouri has executed a convicted killer despite calls by the victim's family and the prosecutor's office to let him spend the rest of his life in prison. Hezbollah confirms a top commander was killed by an IDF airstrike over Lebanon today. The Dow and the S&P closing at all-time highs. This is ABC News. A San Diego man is recounting his violent ocean fight with a sea lion.
Matt Beatty is 61 years old. He swims along San Diego's Mission Beach every day. Last week, he was attacked by a sea lion while swimming.
And I feel this bite.
He quickly realized it wasn't a shark.
This was the meanest sea lion I've ever seen.
His leg now covered in bandages, bruises, and scrapes after his ocean fight. He was rescued by a boogie boarder.
This animal approached me for no reason at all.
And he says,
I would recognize that sea lion in a lineup.
Alex Stone, ABC News.
Beatty is hospitalized and is now recovering at home. TikTok's removed accounts associated with Russian state media for engaging in what it calls covert influence operations ahead of the presidential election. Justice Department officials say while a recent hack by Iran targeted both campaigns, Russia remains the primary threat to U.S. elections. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anywhere at the WGBW website, wgbw.fm.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin State Law Library will have a new name. The state's high court and the director of state courts announced it'll be dedicated to Lavinia Goodell. She was Wisconsin's first woman to become a lawyer. In 1874, she overcame barriers to practice law and worked to open the doors to other women. Currently, the library is named after former conservative justice David Prosser. That was a controversial move in 2016, in part because Prosser put his hands on the neck of a fellow female justice and claimed self-defense. He was recommended to be found guilty of ethics violations, but justices recused themselves, so the charges went nowhere. Brett Favre revealed Tuesday that he has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. The revelation came while Favre was testifying in front of Congress over a controversy that started in 2020, where he was accused of misusing funds intended to help low-income families. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers prep for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Sport, filling in for Mike Clemens. Green Bay is 2-1 heading into this Sunday's matchup with the Vikings. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it's been a team effort to win each of the last two games.
I think that can galvanize our team, and we needed everybody. Everybody's, you know, I don't want to say, because I'm a firm believer that you don't rise to the level of competition, you sink to the level of your preparation, and these guys prepare the right way, they come to work the right way, each and every day with a great attitude. We go out and we have some tough practices.
Starting quarterback Jordan Love, who practiced all of last week, has missed two games with an MCL sprain, but could return this week. Kickoff is at noon on Sunday.
The Brewers have 6 games to play in the regular season. They are in Pittsburgh for 3 games starting tonight before a home series with the Mets. The playoffs start in October. And the kickoff times for the next 2 Wisconsin football games are set. They'll be at USC on Saturday with a 2:30 p.m. start. Then they come home to play Purdue a week from Saturday at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clement, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 40s. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow, high mid-70s. High upper 70s, mostly sunny Thursday. For Friday and the upcoming weekend, it stays mild. Highs well into the 70s with more sun than clouds. Currently at 62 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be discussing a piece of transformative legislation newly introduced that is going to save the middle class. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a deep end.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in 4 directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events. And as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, a lot going on, you know, all over here in the Twin Cities. I know, the American Indian Movement and Indigenous Peoples Movement are getting revved up. It looks like at the Indian Center, I saw that they were painting up some banners there and for Pipestone, and that was good to see. And we support them as much as we can here at Native Roots Radio, and also me as a person of the community. So Haley, I have to dust off my AIM jacket and jean jacket and get it ready for this upcoming action.
Yes.
Or
yes.
Actions.
Right. Yeah, so I think you meant Indigenous Protectors Movement. Yep. And AIM, American Indian Movement. Yeah, they were doing some protesting, making some protest signs and getting ready for the fight against the pipeline going in Pipestone, Minnesota. So yeah. always are behind them and the work that they do, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, right on. Hey, let's get going here. We have our friend Ruth Buffalo from Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center, and we're always really glad to see Ruth. Ruth, welcome to Native Roots Radio.
Domsha, hello, Matzigadads. Thank you for having me.
Right on. Hey, we got a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on, and you have a lot happening at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. Let's talk a little bit about, well, first, like the fall equinox, how do you incorporate the season to your everyday life, and especially during the change of the seasons? And what is Minnesota Indian Resource Center doing with this groovy time of year?
I think just definitely enjoying each other's company and trying to build community where we can, whether it's in-house or strengthening partnerships and relationships outside of the building on the outside, so you can say. But yeah, we're always talking about, you know, how can we help those in need the most outside, on the outside, you know, on the outside of MIWRC. But yeah, we're enjoying, you know, the beautiful weather. We have a beautiful sweat lodge on site now, and so in the courtyard area. But we are planning and working on getting more opportunities, more more ways to bring people together and to definitely supplement or complement what's already existing. We're going to have a monthly women's luncheon. We had two different convenings in August, September, pretty busy month, you know, celebrating our 40th anniversary, which was amazing. Super proud of our staff and the community, the sponsors, everybody who made the event a complete success. It's so fun to hear different community members near and far share, you know, stories of people who, like today, we came across a individual at the county level whose relative was one of the founders, original founders of MIWRC. So it's pretty cool to get connected and have people share, you know, good-hearted stories and memories of MIWRC. But yes, to answer your question, we're doing a lot of planning and enjoying, trying to enjoy the weather as much as we can. I think within my household, we are just trying to spend as much time together as a family, get to see the Bryans on the weekend. And then the kids are just outside playing all the time, going to parks, exercising. I have my electric scooter, so I feel a little guilty because I should be walking or biking, but I'm following them in that electric scooter. So.
Wow, like a true auntie. Whoa.
It's fun too. I'll be like doing circles around them. And
so, we have to see video of that. That brings me another question too. Is like, maybe we can be a little more specific. What's happening on your calendar at Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center? I know it fills up really quick and there's a lot of really good stuff and, you know, significant stuff, like having a sweat lodge in your courtyard. You know, that's significant.
It sure is. It's a huge blessing, and we're super thankful to have a sweat lodge here on site, and we've heard so much good feedback from community members, and it's definitely a huge source of healing, and so just super grateful and amazed by our beautiful staff who continue to show up and do good heart work to help heal our community.
Wow, yeah, definitely. You know, I noticed that cradle board making's happening. Can you talk a little bit about that? And especially seeing that I'm a Choka now, I have two little ones that are like 7 weeks old now.
Yes, gosh, we had a few different events since I've been here and that have been hosted through our traditional birthing program, but also a lot of partnerships in-house, like with our family services program, also NUJIMO, that helps victims or individuals, survivors of gender-based violence. And so all of our programs are definitely interconnected. And so we work to provide healing and support in any which way that we can. And so definitely taking care of moms, dads, babies is so critically important here at MIWRC.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And I know grandparents are involved too. And I'm a grandparent now, and it was amazing. I was at my general counsel, and we got two car seats as being grandparents. And now we have car seats for our little ones. And we're excited to cruise them around when they get a little older and take them across the border, I guess. But everywhere.
Yeah, every bit helps.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing, and it's such a blessing to have babies here in the workplace. We have two babies here, both girls that are here on a daily basis with us in the workplace here at MIWRC. So it's always fun to try to give our staff a break and say, hey, you need a break. We're always trying to like see who can hold the babies and have fun, or just take time to support one another. And we also have another baby on the way that is going to be a boy here in the workplace. I mean, of course, granted, after the time allotted for, you know, the leave and all of that. But we're all patiently waiting. But yeah, it's so beautiful to have the little ones here in the workplace with us.
That's awesome. Haley, you have experience in that too. Years ago, you worked in that field during school, right?
Yeah. So I worked at a couple Montessoris and infant classrooms and stuff like that. This is something Ruth and I, we were able to touch on quickly earlier, but we just learned that the Jolly Jumper was indigenously made actually by an Ojibwe woman from White Earth Nation here. And for those of you who don't remember the Jolly Jumper, I was kind of like obsessed with this as a baby and an infant, and my mom could not get me out of my jumper. But yeah, I thought that was really cool that this woman, I'm blanking on her name now, but she got the inspiration from cradle boards to make that.
Right.
Olivia Pohl.
Yes. Yeah. Olivia Pohl. Yeah. That's pretty amazing. I mean, it's so cool too, because I mean, I love the physical fitness part of things, you know, with like being active and then how different movements will say, you know, like, food is medicine or exercise, movement is medicine, you know, it's all medicine. And we actually, as a staff, convened, yesterday, which was Monday, for some quick Tai Chi easy exercises after we did a fun icebreaker before our leadership team meeting. But yeah, that physical fitness or physical activity is so much a part of who we are, I think, as people as well.
Hey, we're here with Ruth Buffalo. We're going to take a quick break. This is Native Roots Radio, and I need an adult jumper. We'll be right back after this short break. Oh.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
We have survived many traumas.
We are awake. Our eyes, spirit, and hearts are open.
Now is the time to clean up our thinking, our treatment of others, most of all, our treatment of ourselves.
We need to learn about genocide, trauma, enrollment policies, lateral violence, boarding schools, rape introduced to us through colonization.
Some of us believe these lies.
Because to oppose them would be fatal.
There is much healing needed.
We need to be a part of helping to heal our nations.
Today, I promise myself to not hurt anyone with my thoughts, my feelings, my words, or my actions.
I know. I can only control myself.
I will get help when I need it.
I will take good care of me.
For when I do,
I am the resistance.
I am the prayers of my ancestors, and now I am the resilience manifesting into the light of today.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Discover the emotional depth and vivid storytelling of Jay White's Arikara proper at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. This solo exhibition celebrates Arikara culture through the lens of an urban Indian perspective. Experience themes of empowerment, depictions of Native women, stars, and star quilts within White's vibrant acrylic paintings. Arikara proper is showing now through October 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. Get inspired by Jay White's powerful storytelling on canvas. Details at allmyrelationsarts.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by NACTI's Four Sisters Food Sovereignty Program. Join them for Phillips Farms bike tour in South Minneapolis on September 28th from noon to 4 p.m. to learn about locally grown foods and share a meal. Learn more and sign up for this free event at NACTI.org/events.
Hey, am I having a stroke?
I don't know.
Are you having the same stroke I am?
I did. My audio was a little off. Is that the stroke you were talking about?
Yes, it was.
Okay, me too.
Okay, we're fine then. All right, we can move on.
Yes.
Cool. Hey, we are here back with our friend Ruth Buffalo, president and CEO of Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center. And Ruth, I'm wondering, can you talk about any of the history and what the Cradle Board does to our listening audience? I hate to jump over that because we know, but there's a lot of people that listen to our show that don't know kind of what we're talking about.
Gosh, well, I hate to be the spokesperson for all 500 plus tribes, but no, I'm just kidding. Well, I mean, as a Hidatsa woman raised in the Hidatsa Mandan, amongst the my mom's Hidatsa Mandan, my dad is Chiricahua Apache from the Southwest, so I grew up on the plains and on Mandaree. So I know, respectively, that each of the different tribal nations have each of their beautiful stories, as do they have, you know, similarly with like creation stories and all the things. So I want to make sure I'm being respectful in that manner. And I know that oftentimes we can be the most critical of each other as well. So I want to toe the line and tread lightly here, but I think a general basic understanding of cradle boards are, there's a lot of different meanings to them. And so, yeah, I just, I think our traditional birth worker and traditional birthing director, Mbaji, would be an amazing person to bring on the show to where she can speak in depth on the cradle board. Also moss bags that also go along with the cradle board. But I know that I think generally, oftentimes, unfortunately, a lot of our beautiful ways of have been misinterpreted over time, yet they have withstood the test of time. And so there's just a lot of beauty in our daily practices that are still being practiced today. I know that one of my relatives who was a guest on here before, and she would be also an amazing person to speak to cradle boards. She was a part of a cradle board contest that was held in Bismarck a few weeks ago at the International United Tribes International Powwow that was held on the United Tribes Technical College campus. Mm-hmm. And she has a very strong and amazing story to share, and so it was beautiful. I'm not sure if you caught it, but I think it was also on powwows.com, and mm-hmm. it showed all the women out there dancing traditional women's style with the cradle boards on their back, you know, kind of like a backpack would be for those that mm-hmm. aren't familiar with what a cradle board is or how it's used. But it was, you know, a way to just stay connected, I would say, you know, just to protect our babies and to provide still a safe and nurturing space for our babies.
Yeah, good way to answer that. Sorry about that. I didn't want you to speak for all the tribes. But that's a really good point, because we're all so different, but we all kind of are similar, but very different. And there's no really pan Native American response to that. So Ruth, I appreciate that. Thank you for the reminder. Hey, I want to also talk about the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation, or Orange Shirt Day, that's coming up on the 30th. And, you know, this day acknowledges that residential schools are part of our history, and wearing orange is a national movement and to recognize the experience of those who went to residential schools, to honor them and show a collective commitment to ensure that every child matters. And I know it's been really serious the last few years, with all our relatives being found in low graves outside schools, especially starting in Canada.
Yes, for sure. I think that with a lot of different movements, our relatives north of the Medicine Line in Canada have been above the mark for raising awareness, or at least a little bit further along with all due respect, in addressing the various atrocities that our First Nations relatives or peoples have faced. And so definitely acknowledging 100% the leaders north of us who have shed light on all of the horrific abuses that our people have faced. especially, you know, the residential schools, boarding schools. And so I know that there are a number of different events being held across the country in recognition or in observance of Orange Shirt Day, I believe on September 30th. But I think Canada, there's also different days there, and then the Reconciliation Day. And so I know, based off of my time, you know, researching the topic and being involved, you know, coming from unfortunately a lineage or peoples or, you know, our family have or were sent to boarding schools, including Pipestone. My grandparents on my mom's side both were sent to Pipestone. So Pipestone has also a different meaning for our family, aside from the pipeline, but also the abuses that took place there towards our children when they were very, very young. And so, yes, September 30th is a day to acknowledge the harms that have been done towards tribal people. And so it's good to raise awareness and to come together to find solutions and to ultimately heal from these abuses, many believe ongoing abuses. And I know I used to always go up to Spirit Lake, love the area, and I don't believe I'll be able to make it back this year. It will be their fourth annual Orange Shirt Day at Spirit Lake Nation at Fort Totten, at the original site of a boarding school there. Had the experience of touring that school one time after we spoke at an event there, and Dr. Denise Lajdemir from Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians wrote a lot of books and research on boarding schools, and she brought myself and another woman down to the area there, because it was old army barracks, kind of similar to like Carlisle. We were also out at Carlisle October 2018 when Dr. Michael Yellowbird, myself and another individual, we were all voted on to be board members of the National Native American Boarding School Healing Coalition. And it's where I got to meet the late Marlene Helgemo. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's just a lot of good work that has been done by, I think of her a lot in terms of moving the needle forward towards justice for our Indigenous peoples, our tribal peoples, our tribal communities. And so I know September 30th is a day that's recognized nationally to come together and recognize the atrocities that our children, our babies faced, and especially acknowledging that many of our children have not been returned to their families. And so can kind of speak a little bit to that too, where helped, you know, be a part of some of the filing at the United Nations in terms of holding the United States federal government accountable in trying to find ways to locate the missing children who have never returned from these boarding schools.
Well, what's interesting, Ruth, too, is that didn't happen that long ago. And it's important to talk about that, too, because anyone that's Native has had some, either an auntie, uncle, gaga, grandma, or somebody that's been involved with the residential school. And again, we bring that up because it really wasn't that long ago.
100%. I think of a time when, in another life, when I was a state representative, a lawmaker, you know, during the pandemic, my second session within a 4-year term, met every other year. We introduced a bill, a temporary truth and healing commission, but in doing the research prior to getting the bill introduced, I remember visiting with individuals out in California who shared their work there. They have a different setup in their government, state government, but they had shared, you know, they believed that some things could not be reconciled, you know, therefore they didn't include reconciliation. And one of my uncles.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. Evacuations are underway in Cleves, Ohio, not far from Cincinnati, where a damaged rail car is leaking styrene. That's a flammable liquid used to make plastics and rubber.
There is concerns that with the heat up of the material in the car, that there is a potential for an explosion. At this point, I don't have any other detailed information.
And Chief Mike Sefke of the Little Miami Joint Fire and Rescue District. President Biden gave his farewell address to the United Nations General Assembly. Federal prosecutors have officially charged Ryan Ruth with attempting to assassinate former President Trump. Missouri has executed a convicted killer despite calls by the victim's family and the prosecutor's office to let him spend the rest of his life in prison. Hezbollah confirms a top commander was killed by an IDF airstrike over Lebanon today. The Dow and the S&P closing at all-time highs. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin's public parks got a D grade for their infrastructure. The American Society of Civil Engineers puts out these reports every year. It notes that Wisconsin's state and local parks need updating, and paying for those would be tough. State parks here have some of the lowest funding in the country. Get this, people in Oshkosh are smelling something funny, and nobody quite knows what it is. Here's Lisa Hale.
Something smells fishy in Oshkosh. Well, maybe not fishy, but definitely unpleasant, unwanted, and sour. Residents on the south side of the city around Oregon and Michigan streets near 7th, 8th, and 9th Avenues are noticing a foul, sour smell permeating buildings. The director of Public Works, James Rabe, says they haven't been able to nail down the source. He's encouraging people who smell the odor to contact Public Works as they try to track it down.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Good news for moviegoers. Just when it looked like people were done leaving the house to see movies, the box office turned itself around this summer and even into the fall. On the heels of an actors and writers strike and a worldwide pandemic, people finally seem to be going back to theaters, which most cinema prognosticators did not see coming. How happy are theater owners? Deadline reports that a group of U.S. and Canadian exhibitors that control almost 70% or over 21,000 movie theater screens in North America have committed $2.2 billion to upgrade their facilities. The National Association of Theater Owners say the funds will be used to upgrade to the latest laser projection technology, sound systems, better seating, food and beverage option upgrades, and family enhancement experiences like arcades and even bowling. In addition to the bells and whistles, cosmetic upgrades in the way of carpeting, better lighting and signage, and air conditioning will also happen. Let's hope the theater experience keeps getting better and never goes away. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly clear, a low in the upper 40s. Mostly sunny and warmer tomorrow, high mid-70s. High upper 70s, mostly sunny Thursday. For Friday and the upcoming weekend, it stays mild. Highs well into the 70s with more sun than clouds. It's 60 right now.
I thought I had to quit opioids all on my own, but my doctor set me straight. They told me opioid use disorder is a chronic health condition, just like heart disease or diabetes, that you don't manage with willpower alone. So now I take medications that work to curb the cravings and, when combined with therapy, help me manage my health. I've learned that opioid recovery is possible with courage, support, and meds. Find out how medications can help you too at doseofrealitywi.gov.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Kamala Harris was so classy. What did you think of the debate?
My friend and Milwaukee County Board Chairwoman Marcelia Nicholson.
As a woman of color, she ran a clinic on how to school a mediocre white man. And on the other end, you have Trump, who was angry and rattled and showed why he was unfit to be president.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Ben and Deanna Malachor are in the house. We'll find out more about how interest rates are affecting the housing market.
And we'll get a slice of Wisconsin with our own Terry Barr. Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Coleman, 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everybody, this is Wendy Pilot. I am standing in right now for Robert. He just had to step out for a minute, but he will be back momentarily.
Thanks,
I'm here
Wendy.
With our producer, Haley Cherry. And I think what we're waiting for is for Bob Blake from
yes.
Red Lake. He is the owner of Solar Bear, and he brings what's going on solar in native land. And yep. he talks a lot about climate change and what we can do to help our environment. How are you doing tonight, Haley?
I'm good. Thanks for hopping on, Wendy. Really appreciate it. And yeah, you got a good bio for Bob Blake from Red Lake there.
Yeah. So I was getting ready. I'm leaving shortly here to the airport, heading out for a visit to my family in New York. My little great nephew is in the hospital right now. Yeah, he had 106.8.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so he's in the hospital. He is stable. He is doing okay. They're giving him fluids. They're getting his fever down, and hopefully everything will be okay. He is stable, yeah. So we're really happy about that. But, you know, not only do I have to pack for myself, I have to pack for Wanda also. Oh, I see.
Oh, yeah.
Blake is here. Welcome, Bob. Hey, how are you? Say, I'm really sorry. Robert had to hop off just for a sec. He will be back on. Oh, here he is. Okay.
Hey,
I will hand it off to Robert.
Hey, check it out, everyone. I am wearing the Minnesota Vikings horn helmet because they are playing the Houston Texans this week. And they both have the horns, right? They both have the horns.
Yes.
But when you play the Minnesota Vikings and you mess with the Vikings, you get the horns, everybody.
Wow. You got to get some applause. Hey, before we move on here, I just got to give a quick shout out to the producer, Haley, who I always thought that she should have her own show, and she just proved it. And I know you're under the weather, too. Sorry, I had some business I had to take care of. And
that's totally
Bob,
okay.
It's just amazing to have a producer like Haley Cherry.
Mm-hmm.
Bob.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Oh,
Bob, you're supposed to agree.
Hey. Hey. Listen, hay's for horses, sometimes cows. Pigs don't eat
goodness.
It because they don't know how.
Whoa.
I absolutely agree. Miss Haley, you are the one. You are the one that keeps, the wheels moving.
That's
and, you
right.
know, incidentally, nice segue, Kaylee, into wheels, because there is a story out now that is confirming that by 2028, they're talking about that we're gonna have, almost a complete shift towards electric vehicles and charging stations. Now, I'm kind of thinking to myself that that's a little ambitious here, but looking at all of the investments that is happening, especially around the world. I hate to say this, everyone, but I think the engine combustion vehicle is on its way out. And this is good, everyone, because fossil fuels is obviously contributing to our greenhouse gases and contributing to climate change. This may not be the ultimate answer for our transportation, but I think it's a nice option in a sense that people are still able to, you know, be in love with their vehicle, because we are a car culture. We love our vehicles. But at the same time, though, I think it's also an opportunity for us to lower our carbon footprint. And many, many years ago, this is not all of your fault. This is public planning part. But they built suburbs, and the city planners planned out all this. And it was all around people being in their vehicles. So at that point in time, we didn't have all the information that we have now. But now that we do have the information we have now, I think this is a great thing that's happening, where, you know, we're moving in this direction. I believe Norway is like almost to 100% conversion to electric vehicles. That's ridiculous.
Wow.
You know, the Norwegian states, and incidentally, everybody, you know, the weather there gets down to like, I want to say like, you know, 20 degrees below or something, you know, it's mm-hmm. almost similar to the, like the, you know, the weather we have here in Minnesota. So for folks to some folks to say that electric vehicles don't work great in the wintertime, I beg to differ and ask the Norwegians, because they seem to be doing just fine over there.
We ask the Norwegians a lot of stuff here in Minnesota.
Well, that we do ask them.
So I thought that was a good point there. Yeah, well, Robert, it's amazing what's happening here, and things can happen really quick politically. And if we have, you know, the progressive vote and pushing people more progressive into this, I think how they're doing it right now, the Biden administration slowly eking our fossil fuels away from us in giving support to renewable is where it's at. And it's been a process already.
Well, you know, Robert, great story here in the Energy News Network today about the federal incentives that are spurring solar panel company for onshoring its supply chain in Minnesota. And that's Hayline Solar Factory. And of course, Native Sun and Solibra has a wonderful relationship with Hayline. Everyone, you're going to hear it first right now, but Solibear is in conversations around battery manufacturing right now. So
yeah,
this is going to be really, really exciting. I am super stoked about it. But there's another great article that is at Energy News Network today about clean energy law that's funding and fueling Michigan jobs and economic growth, a new study finds. So, you know, you know, this is really something that's creating jobs, creating opportunities. Small businesses are spurring. I just did a press conference today for the DFL, you know, in support of the Affordable Care Act. I don't think about small businesses and the healthcare that we do provide our employees. One of my employees, actually, Robert, went part-time, and I am still giving this employee their stipend for their healthcare. Because that's how valuable I believe this employee is to our organization. And I will continue to make that investment into Solibear and Native Sun will continue to make those investments into our employees. So, you know, those are things I think that, you know, people don't hear about in the press, how small businesses and organizations are filling those gaps. We're the closest to the problem. So we know exactly what to do. You know, because corporations and government are kind of big sometimes and they don't really understand what's happening down in the cracks, you know, but this is where we work at. And you know, it's important to be able to give these folks and these people affordable health care.
Absolutely. And we're a few steps away, hopefully, when we get Kamala and we get really the trifecta across the country is to get start talking universal health care again. Because that's a game changer and a game changer of sorts where you aren't, you know, a slave to where you have to work because you have good health care. Everyone should have it. And Haley's generation will look back at this and go, what were they thinking all those years? Why weren't they for the people?
Right. Well, you know, Senator Aaron Murphy spoke on, you know, a lot of states, you know, how we're all kind of doing different things, but I think we're all kind of like borrowing from each other and taking those ideas and implementing into our own program. And there's a level that we have to request from a federal side on our healthcare, and Minnesota is moving in that direction. So she spoke very eloquently on that today at the press conference. And of course she's a nurse, right? She's a nurse, but so she knows so much about it, but you know, I just thought that was really interesting, and it was really cool to know that Minnesota is you know, moving forward and trying to make sure that that this stays in place. Because unfortunately, Robert, in this 2025 agenda by the Trump folks, you know, the MAGA nation, they're going to gut this, and folks will be without health care. And so that's why it's really important for everyone to get out and vote this election, to be able to support, so small businesses and organizations that do this great work in our communities. And this is a wonderful way to do it. And so that's what the press conference was about today, Robert. And yeah. I was just honored and I was excited to be a part of those kinds of things.
We love State Senator Erin Murphy here on – she's our representative here in where we live. And I know she is on it, very intelligent, and will be one of those people that really help us figure out next steps. So we got a couple more minutes here, Bob. What else do you got here? Solar Bear with the solar news with the Viking cap.
Yeah, so the St. Paul, Minnesota Habitat for Humanity Project will offer affordable housing without fossil fuels. So this is the net zero community over on the east side of St. Paul. Everyone, I am working on the Turtle Island Sustainability Campus. Bob Blake might get this building. So we'll see. We're working on it. You've heard it here first. You always hear it here first on Native Earth Radio Network. But, you know, Robert, really trying to put together the Turtle Island Sustainability Campus and you know, it's going to be a big turtle, and it's going to have a turtle solar array on top, and we're going to do research, and we're going to do support for tribes, and really job workforce development, all kinds of cool stuff there. So it'll be a research center. Yeah, so really trying to make that happen. But that was in the Energy News Network this week, and rather a lot of good articles in there right now talking about all the good stuff happening here in the Midwest.
Well, the things that you've been working on all these years are coming to fruition, and it's so exciting to see that. When you just gave that little bit there, I just thought about all the great ideas 10, 11, 12 years ago you had, and they're all coming around, and it's a beautiful thing. And now your Vikings hat is glowing, which is awesome.
Yeah, Robert, I can't believe it, Robert. I feel so blessed. And, Robert, I especially thank you for your friendship. And for you allowing my voice to be out there and be heard, because like nobody wanted to talk climate change back then. Nobody wanted to talk about what was happening. And you allowed the solar news for the Solar Bear to come out. And you were just, we'll never forget that, Robert.
Yeah. Well, we've had a lot of things, and you're helping nations all across Turtle Island, not only your own. And you're the real deal, and we really appreciate your input and insight and all your stories. And I just want to say a big peeny geegee, Bob. Thanks a lot. Is that the Solar Bear with the Solar News?
That is the Solar Bear with the Solar News.
Kind of sang there. That was pretty cool. Hey, Haley, what's up next? Because, you know, as you can see me, I'm, help me.
It's Wendy. Wendy's got a new sacred animal segment, so stay with us.
A big peeny geegee there, Haley. Thank you so much. Hey, Bob, thank you. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Robert Pilot from Native Roots Radio. If you need new windows for your home or business, I highly recommend 952 Windows. They offer windows and doors with the longest warranties and Energy Star's number one most efficient ratings. I can personally vouch for them, having known the owner for decades. They did a fantastic job on our second floor addition 20 years ago, installing windows, roofing, siding, and even adding a master bedroom and bathroom. 952 Windows is part of Loyal Home, founded by some of the Ethics Award-winning former Window Light employees. In my opinion, they're one of the most best-kept secrets in remodeling. As Onyx Bath and Rosebud Cabinet Dealers, 952 Windows guarantees top-quality products. Most of their business comes from referrals, so much so that they have been called the best-kept secret in remodeling by their competitors. For unbeatable deals and trusted service on windows, doors, roofing, siding, kitchens, bathrooms, and more, call 952 Windows or visit 952windows.com.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dagger Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. A couple of things. I will be traveling today on the plane, and Wanda, our 14-year-old Shih Tzu, who was a rescue, will be joining me. Wanda, this will probably be your sixth flight, maybe eighth, but she really loves the airport. I'm going to go soon to go get her carrier out, and she has to be on this nice, soft little carrier that she goes into that can go under the seat in front of me in the plane. But as soon as I take that carrier out, it's so funny, like she knows that we're going somewhere, so she gets really excited. We get to the airport. I have to keep her in the carrier, although I do sometimes unzip the top and she pops her little head out. But it's really cute because if you could imagine, I have a piece of luggage with four wheels on it that I wheel. And Wanda's carrier goes over the handle of my luggage. So she sits on top of my luggage. So I just like wheel her around the airport, and it's really cute, especially when I have the little top open and she pops her little head out. So there she is, you know, I'm wheeling her through the airport, and like people are like pointing at her and looking at her. And a lot of people will come over and say, you know, can I pet your dog? But it's kind of a pain in the neck to travel because I have to get on a different line and I have to buy her a ticket. Like I have to get her ticket and they have to check her out and they say, can I see your dog? Because they need to know that I do have a dog in that carrier. And then she does come out of the carrier when we go through security. So I hold her and her carrier goes through the x-ray machine and then her and I walk through the security and get through to the other side. And then she's really good. I do have to give her some medication to relax her, and I bring her treats and she has water and she's all set. Yeah, so I'll be traveling with her later tonight. And I'm really excited about doing the trip. And she's always been pretty good. Sometimes, like when we are taking off or landing, I know like my ears pop and they bother me a little bit. So, you know, I just pinch my nose and pop my ears. But Wanda, of course, can't do that. But I do believe that the pressure does bother her because during those times of, you know, ascending and descending, she is scratching inside the carrier. So what I'll do is I'll feed her treats during that time so that it might help her, you know, the chewing, like if you chew gum or something, it's supposed to help you. Yeah. Anyway, so you guys, I wanted to tell you a little bit about the Humane Society of the United States. A lot of people ask me questions about, so what kind of work do you do? What, you know, what kind of things do you get involved with? A lot of people will ask me, oh, I want to adopt a, you know, a small dog. Do you have any? So people think that being a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, I know it's a mouthful, but we do not adopt out any dogs and cats at all. What we do is we work on policies. So we work on laws and ordinances. We get involved in local politics to try to get laws changed. A lot of times I am at the Capitol and I am speaking to my city council member, my House representative, my senator about some humane laws that we want to have passed in Minnesota and in just St. Paul. Sometimes it's very local. So we'll just work on stuff that's local. Excuse me. And it's a lot of fun. If anybody is out there who wants to get involved with the Humane Society of the United States and do that type of work, it's really very rewarding when you get an ordinance passed or a law passes and it helps animals in your state. It really is. And the Humane Society of the United States has humane policy volunteer leaders throughout the whole United States. So you could get involved with wherever you live. I'm sure that there's someone there who's the director, and they guide you on what kind of issues are happening, what we need to be working on, which, you know, if it's your city council member or your house representative or your senator who will be helping you with this. And it's really a lot of fun. You get to know who's representing you, and you get involved politically, which we all know is really important, especially in today's atmosphere, right? It's very important to be politically involved. You know, I hear a lot of people, they'll just say, oh, I can't be bothered. I'm not into politics. I can't, you know, get into that. It's just too much. And I mean, I think I felt like that years ago. And I think as I got older, I just realized what an impact, you know, electing a specific city council member, you know, to fill a seat there, and how it affects your city, and just things that happen, right? So it's really important to get involved with that. But that's really what we do. I mean, the Humane Society of the United States does get involved with local animal shelters when there's a disaster, right? When there's a hurricane, a tornado, and they are called in to help. So the Humane Society of the United States just doesn't go anywhere there's a disaster. They need to be called in. So like a specific state would have a disaster, a flood. They don't have enough resources. They can't handle everything. And then they call in the Humane Society of the United States, who has equipment. They have vans. They have mobile veterinarian, you know, with veterinarians and vet techs on in their vans where they can go. And then they work with local shelters in the area to get the dogs and cats that are already in that shelter, transport them elsewhere, somewhere safe, so that shelter is now available for the animals that are in the local area that are needed. So they do that quite often. You know, a lot of people will be like, oh, I only give money to my local shelter. Yes, absolutely. Your local shelter, local people need, you know, money to just, you know, do the day-to-day business, absolutely. But it is also important to give money to the Humane Society of the United States, only because they do have these big vans. They do have, you know, they need money to do all this stuff, for traveling, for, you know, getting the animals where they need to be. But it's really been a lot of fun. I've been doing it for quite a few years now. You're not busy all the time. You kind of could just, you know, work on things that are important to you, let other people work on things that you're less likely to be involved with, and you all work together, and you just create a more humane place where you live. So if that's something that you're interested in, you could email Native Roots Radio, and I could tell you how to get involved if that's what you're interested in. And it's always been a lot of fun. And I'm looking forward to working on a lot of good things this legislative session. And I'll let you.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by legendary performer Charo, Jesse March from the Festival Theater in St. Croix, and King of Queens writer, executive producer Rock Rubin joins to discuss the show's legacy.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
Do you have a home you'd like to rent out but don't know where to start? Consider Simple Life Rentals, a property management company partnered with booking sites like Airbnb and Expedia, amplifying your home's exposure to the marketplace. Simple Life Rentals screens guests and creates an owner portal with analytics, rental agreements, and legal guidelines. We give you complete visibility into how your manager's doing, ensuring your property is well-maintained and maximizing your return on investment. Get peace of mind. Simple Life Rentals.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.